Good morning, 10 o'clock. I'm Talbot Davis, pastor here at Good Shepherd United Methodist. And you know how you know that Jesus is in the house? It's you know it when people willingly give up their seats to make room for other people. So thank you for your flexibility. We're really glad we have people in our VIP backstage seating today. So thank those folks for their flexibility. They're back here. So a lot of you could have a place in here. This is week number 3 of our series, Practicing the Presence. What would it look like if the people of Good Shepherd didn't focus so much on where is God, but more on am I awake enough to be aware of God? We've talked about wanting the people of this church to be so weird that you talk to God all day long. And I've been so glad to get those reports from you that more and more and more of you are doing it. And we have some hands-on tangible resources that we're going to be handing out as you depart a little bit later today that will help you continue to take these next steps in your own living relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's what this place is all about. For today's message, it's called Twos and Throughs. And if you have your Bible with you, I want to invite you to open your Bible to Psalm number 55, the whole thing. We're not jumping around different psalms today. Psalm number 55. The Bible, a lot of you know this, but the Bible is not a book and it is a library. And within the library of the Bible, the book of Psalms, which is where these messages in this series come from, the book of Psalms is like the songbook, the lyric book. So throughout this series, as we practice God's presence, we are looking to ancient songs written by people like King David, the one who slew Goliath and slept with Bathsheba and was the king. He wrote a good number of these songs, including the one that we're going to look at today. And in addition to being a library, there's something else that we in leadership of this church believe very deeply about the Bible. And you may not be with us yet. You may think what I'm getting ready to say is weird, or you may love what I'm getting ready to say. And you're like, thank you for articulating it. But wherever you are on that spectrum, we just want to be honest and open with what we believe. We believe that there is no other library like this on planet Earth. It is a one of a kind. Because God breathed his life into its words and he put his truth onto its pages. This is inspired and eternal and true. And because we believe that about Scripture, this church, when we talk about it, we lift it up. And that is our way of saying, Lord, thank you for your word. We willingly place ourselves under the authority of your word. And we know that loaded up inside your word is all kinds of impact and power and strength. And we are eager for that impact to be what's been loaded up. We want it to be unleashed in our midst today. Amen? And so before I say another word or even think another word, let's pray. And as you're praying with me, please remember to pray for me. So let's pray. God, I thank you for this privilege, really, of being able to stand and speak about Scripture and speak about your presence and speak to this community called Good Shepherd. And I ask that you would, in these moments, from my feet to my head, fill me with your Holy Spirit for a fresh anointing for what needs to be said today. And God, for everyone within the sound of my voice, would you fill them with that same Holy Spirit and his power, so that hearts would be opened and ears would be opened and minds would be softened to hear what it is you're saying today. I'm powerless without you, but because of you, I'm never helpless. Amen. Well, have you ever noticed that in general in life, to get to something, some kind of goal, some kind of destination, you have to go through something else? And typically in life, the more difficult the through, the more challenging that through, the more rewarding it is when you get to. Like the more arduous the journey, the more euphoric you are when you get to the destination. You go through to get to. Now, I am likely not telling you anything that you don't already know, and, and haven't already experienced dozens of times, maybe hundreds of times. Maybe what I'm doing is giving you a little bit of language or even a sort of a framework for understanding so much of what goes on in life that when you have a destination, a really good to, there's often a really difficult through to get there. Because I know you, and I know that there are a bunch of you in this place. And back in the day, and maybe the day was only even like last month, you studied and you borrowed and you tested and you planned and then you borrowed some more. And at the end of all that through, you got that degree. And maybe for some of you, it was an associate's and others, it was a bachelor's. And maybe for a few of you, there was a master's degree. And maybe even for some of you, there was that law degree or a medical degree. And then for the most elite among you, I mean the most brilliant among you, your long through led to that too of what they call a master's of divinity. And yes, and you're all ready. That was only for the elite few. And you're all ready for ministry now. Throughs and twos. And then for others of you, maybe that long, because I mean, the reason that graduation is such a deal is because matriculation was such a burden. And for others of you, maybe it doesn't have so much to do with schooling, but you went through this long, long, difficult through, and you planned, and you put down payments, and you scheduled, and you fought, and you pulled your hair out, and you tried clothes on, and you met with folks, and at the end of it all, at the end of all of this, then you wish you wouldn't have to be part of it, you guys, and at the end of all this long through, there it was, wedding. And I am amazed, I'm there a lot at these weddings, and I am amazed at how quickly the ceremony is over compared to how long that run-up to the whole deal was. It's like you spend a year planning this thing, and it's over in like 5 minutes, and then the long and difficult through, and you hope beyond hope that through to two is good, or you're in for one that's not so good, and there's a long through of litigation that gets you to the two of divorce. And some of you have walked that road and you know how painful that is. And then for others of you, ladies in here, you know what I'm saying. You lot of you, you know that long through to get to a two, because what do they call the through? Labor. And you gotta go through that labor to get to that baby. And think about that word labor. Think of what they don't call it. They don't call it ease. They don't call it vacation. They don't even call it management. They call it labor. And you've got to go through that difficult, painful journey to get to the glory of the little baby, these throughs and twos. And all you guys feeling so left out right now, don't worry. You got your own throughs and you got your own twos. There's that rock climbing. And some of you are on those weight loss journeys. And others of you been through building projects and building campaigns, just like we finished about a year ago. There are all kinds of throughs getting to these glorious twos. And you know as well as I do that if the through is easy, then where you get to, you don't appreciate it so much. But there is this great sense in which the longer and the more difficult and the more arduous that journey, the more you appreciate the destination, throughs and twos. I'm telling you all of that because I just kind of love this Bible journey that we are going to be able to walk on today. And it is a Bible journey from Psalm number 55. And it's so interesting because in Psalm number 55, we are going to end up at the two. And actually, that's where the psalm ends up, but it's where we are going to begin. Look at what Psalm 55, the last line of Psalm 55, the last part of verse 23, look at what it says. But as for me, I will trust in you. As for me, I will trust in you. That's the destination. That is the end of the journey. And here we have David. This is the same David who slew Goliath and slept with Bathsheba and was the king over Israel. And we think that David probably had some songwriting help in writing a lot of these psalms. We don't know who these people are. I'd love to know who the Lennon was to his McCartney, or who the Henley was to his Fry, but we just don't know exactly who his cohorts were in this songwriting business. All we know is that in this long, strange trip, Psalm number 55, David gets to that place where he looks around and he says, well, they can do what they want. That my friends, my enemies, people I don't even know, they can trust who they want. But as for me, he doesn't even say, I will trust God. He's so intimate and connected with God. I will trust you. I will directly address you. And I'm going to trust you. And I don't know if you've thought of it this way or not. But landing at that place where your trust, and by trust I mean both the decisions of a lifetime, that way that you have where you look at your life in advance and you say, I'm going to line up my life and my decisions with God's way and what God has revealed, and even when it's not convenient or easy, I'm still going to go with it. The decisions of a lifetime and the details of the moment. Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me say right now? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I need you. I need you. I need you right now. Both of those kinds of trust. David has looked around at all the possibilities and all the alternatives after going through the long journey of Psalm 55, and he says, as for me, I'm going to trust you. And I say that that's a good place to land, because if you don't trust God with both your lifetime decisions and those minute-by-minute details, who are you going to call? Who are you going to trust? And the reality is that if you don't land in that place where you say, I'm going to trust God, the default, the next place most of us go, and who are we going to trust, is ourselves. Well, I'm not going to trust God, so I'm trusting me. And if that's you, if you get to that place where you are trusting yourself, I have a promise to make you, and it's this. The God who is you will always let you down. See, if you get to the end of a long through and the two where you land, well, I'm trusting me. They can trust God. I am trusting me. The God who is you will always, always let you down. Trusting God, decisions of a lifetime, details of the moment. So much better. It really makes me think of our daughter, Taylor, who's now 28 and lives in Nashville, and because she's 28, you almost never get baby stories, because I don't even remember those baby stories anymore. But when she was about 2 years old, she would run around our house, and she would put up her hands like this, and she would say, Daddy, hold you! Daddy, hold you! Which is her way of saying, Daddy, hold me! Daddy, hold you! And of course, I'd say, no, kid, deal with it yourself. And that's why she lives in Nashville now. But that joyful sense that I don't have life figured out and I need someone bigger and stronger and more experienced than me who will quite literally hold me and guide me, that's what trusting God is like. That's why trusting God is a good place to land. And some of you here today, you may not be sure about God at all. You're not even sure that there is a God. And others of you who are kind of wrestling with where you stand with Jesus or where Jesus stands with you and this whole notion of trusting God, even you really have to admit that you're kind of envious, a little bit jealous of those people who do. There's something that you see in the serene faces of those people you know who have gotten to that place, and they're like, Daddy, hold you, to their Heavenly Father, and they have great, great assurance that He is doing exactly that. So the two, as for me, I trust you. But the fascinating thing about Psalm number 55 is that to get to verse 23, the last verse, you got to go through verses 1 through 22. And you got to go through verses 1 through 22, not only in paper, but much more importantly, in life. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's not just the verses of Scripture that are inspired by God, we believe. It's the whole design. And in the way the whole of Psalm 55 is laid out and what God is designing and all of that, not only on the paper, but in your life and in my life, it is so abundantly clear what God is in charge of, how he is inspiring it, and how it meets where we are today when we're trying to practice God's presence. Because all over Psalm number 55, kind of looming over the whole thing, is this sense of betrayal. Kind of from the first words to the last words. Hovering over this song is this sense that the songwriter, David, and whoever helped them, have been betrayed. Now look how it starts, verses 1 and 2. And 3, David says this, "Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me." Can you imagine being that nervy with God? Can you imagine commanding God, "Listen to me, Lord. Hear me and answer me"? And when David says, "Do not ignore my plea," there, he's strongly implying, don't ignore my plea this time like you ignored that last one. And I love this. I love that David is so honest and so raw with God that he can get mad at God. He can shake a fist at God, because we believe around here shaking that fist at God is just prepares the way for you to lift a hand to God. So that even in the middle of this sort of nervy opening where you're like, I can't believe he's talking to God like that, there's something liberating and something beautiful about this. Answer my plea. Do not ignore me like you done did last. That's Southern David. Like you done did last time, Lord. Keeps going. Verse 2. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught because of what my, here's betrayal, because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. So he introduces betrayal there, and then he gets more specific in verses 12 and 13 and 14. Look at what he says. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising against me, I could hide. But it is you, and he's not talking to God here. It is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked among the worshipers. Whoa. I could deal with this from my enemies, but it's you. You're my boy. We used to go to church together. We drink coffee in the lobby together. We would go to life group together. And now you, my boy, you have betrayed me. Man, I've had a friend, I guess, frenemy, betray a public, leverage a private conversation for public gain. And it is infuriating. It's kind of breach of confidentiality and privacy I sure didn't sign up for. And I see this conversation, and of course, the way it goes public, the other person is the hero of the story. And it just is so very maddening. And it's one thing when these kinds of betrayals come at the hands of people you would expect it from, but the reason a betrayal hurts so badly and cuts so deeply is that because they come at the hands of friends who quickly become, do they not, frenemies. Some of you know exactly what that is like. You've been betrayed. Maybe even this week. For some of you, that betrayal didn't come at the hands of someone in this church or any church, but it came at the hands of a company. There was that company that you stood by for years and years and years, and you gave that company your very best. And when push came to shove and the company had a choice to make, they did not return the favor. And others, if you've been betrayed by a boss, or you've been betrayed by a teacher or a mentor, or you've been betrayed by a minister or a ministry or a pastor. And then some of you, even this week, you've been betrayed by those children. Children you raised in a certain way, and they've gone off and they have acted and lived and behaved completely contrary to the way they were raised. And then I know more than a few of you at 8:30 and 10 and 11:30 in Moss Road and Zor Road and Spanish-speaking service, all of them, you've been betrayed by a spouse. You're still trying to put those pieces back together. Betrayal cuts so deeply, and it bleeds so freely. And the closer that relationship, the more painful that betrayal, and that sense of betrayal hovers over Psalm 55 from the beginning and to the end. Which is why what David does in verses 6 and 7 fascinates me. Look at what David says. I said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away and stay in the desert street." Verse 6, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove and I would fly away." Now, some of you, your minds are really going right now because you're like, hey, I've heard both of those songs. That this one verse has inspired two songs, Wings of a Dove and I'll Fly Away. Oh, you know, that one, I'll Fly Away. And what's so interesting about those two songs that this one verse has inspired is that both of them give this sentiment that is contrary to what Psalm 55 is teaching. Because in this moment, verses 6 and 7, David is saying, if I trusted in myself and I'm dealing with this betrayal, if it's all about me and how I want to deal with this betrayal, I'd get away. I'd fly away. I'd get on the wings of a dove. I'd go be a hermit in the desert, and I would not address the betrayer nor the betrayal if I was trusting me. And yet, what have songwriters done in the century since? Well, we've sung songs about getting away, flying the wings like a dove, and avoiding and escaping any sense of confrontation about the betrayal that you are in the middle of. But the reality is, this is David in verse 6. Psalm 55, as you now know, because I done showed you the end, has 23 verses. And the whole journey of the psalm is away from trusting me to trusting God. David may want to get away, like Southwest Airlines. But that's when he's trusting him, when he's trusting himself. Which really brings up a real clear point to me, and it's this notion that if you are a chronic avoider, if you like to escape and not address confrontation or difficult relationships, if the thought of having one of those conversations just gets your stomach to churning and it's days away, then the realization that you're going to have to address the betrayer and the betrayal is traumatic. If you're one of those people who always hopes it'll just work out on its own, and how often does that happen? Oh, like never. And that realization that there's been a betrayal and you've got to address the betrayal and the betrayer, leaning in and not trusting yourself and your desire to get away, but trusting God and actually addressing it, very, very traumatic indeed. Difficult, difficult journey. Talk about a through to a two. Look at verse 17. Same psalm says this, "Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Evening and morning and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice." You know what that is, evening, morning, and noon? That's practicing the presence. That's what we've been talking about all January, that the people of Good Shepherd are becoming so weird. You talk to God all day long, evening and morning and noon, and David is doing it right here for us. And it's been so interesting to me that since we have started this series, I've been much more purposeful in trying to talk to God all day long. I'm like, well, I'm preaching this stuff. I might as well try and live it out. I usually don't. I usually just say it and live the other way. But this time, if you've never been here before, you're thinking, that guy's sick up there. This time, I'm like, I'm going to be talking to God all day long. And you know what is so interesting? Is how often when I'm talking to God later in the day and I'm like, God, what would you have me do? And what would you have me say? And who would you have me be in these moments? How often the answer comes back in this way, don't talk about you, Talbot. Don't bring the conversation back to you and your wit or your insight or your knowledge. Don't talk so much about Good Shepherd. Talk about the Good Shepherd. And if you're a borderline narcissist, like I'm a borderline narcissist, and I love having the conversation back to me, hearing that word from God consistently and repeated, essentially hearing God say, when I ask, Lord, what would you have me do or say? Essentially hearing him say, just shut up, Talbot. To hear that word is traumatic. Very, very difficult. And yet, the more I hear it, the more I know it's accurate. I know I'm just not thinking that up on myself because I would never say that to myself. Look at verses 20 through 23. My companion attacks his friends. Betrayal again. He violates his covenant. His talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. Woo! You know anybody like that? His words are more soothing than oil, and yet they are drawn swords. Cast your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful will not live out half their days. Whew. And in this ingenious design of Psalm 55, you see verses 1 through 22, 22 verses, 22 and a half verses, piled one on top of the other. And remember that I said it's not just the individual verses that are inspired by God, but the whole design. And it's so clear what God is doing here, that God wants David and he wants all of us to get to that place of simple, not simplistic, simple conclusion. As for me, I'm going to trust you. That they can trust who they want, they can betray me, but I am going to trust you. And yet God is very clear that getting to that glorious, serene to trust, there is a long and difficult process and journey to get there, and God has designed it that way. God has master planned this process where he will take people through difficulty and through trauma and through obstacles because he knows that if you could get to that two of trusting God, if you could get there quickly or easily, he would have put it at verse number two. But you can't. He knows that you have to really trust God. You have to walk a journey that's going to build your trust muscle along the way. If trust was easy or quick, and you were able to get to that place very rapidly, I'm going to trust you. Well, then the trust that you had would not have the tenacity or the resilience to withstand life's difficulties. You might trust God today. If it just was a matter of going from verse 1 to verse 2, you might trust God today, but then when the first obstacle came back tomorrow, you would go right back to trusting you. And the God who is you will always let you down. The God who is never will. And so here's what it all means, Good Shepherd. All of you who would love to land at that place where your to, your goal, your destination is trusting God. Here it is. To get to trust, you got to go through trauma. God loves to be trusted so much, he will ensure that you have to struggle to get there. To get to that place where you say, as for me, I'm going to trust you. That is such a great, glorious, serene two. God will take you purposefully by design through trauma, through difficulty, through obstacle. If it was easy, it wouldn't last. But because it's difficult and because it's challenging, you build up that trust muscle along the way and you grow that kind of trust that endures. To get to trust, you got to go through trauma. God loves to be trusted just that much. I don't know if you realize that or not, that God loves it when you stop trusting you and you start trusting him. You know how I know that? Remember this? Daddy holds you. Daddy holds you. Well, how do you think I felt 26 years ago with the little girl running around our house doing that? I loved it. I loved nothing more than, well, yeah, I'll hold you, than picking her up and holding her and comforting her in the middle of all that. And God is the same way. He loves to be trusted. He loves it so much when you relocate your trust away from you and into him that he has master planned this process. He has master planned this journey that will take you through difficulty and take you through obstacle and build your trust muscle along the way so that when you get there, the trust at which you arrive, the destination at which you land, is one that will endure and one that will survive. To get to trust, you got to go through trauma. And when I talk about trauma, I'm talking about all kinds of trauma, relational trauma, health trauma, grief trauma, faith trauma where you're not sure you believe anymore, and self-inflicted trauma. And isn't that the majority of the trauma that we go through, is trauma that we bring upon ourselves? So funny for me to hear from people got caught in a mess and a fix, and they'll say, well, the devil made me do it. And I'm like, no, he didn't. You didn't need any help getting there. You got there all by your lonesome. Self-inflicted trauma is the most pervasive kind of trauma that we have. And but one of my great privileges of this job is being able to sit with friends who I have who are in AA, they're in recovery, AA or NA or GA or SA, and hearing them look back in the rearview mirror of their lives now that they are in recovery, and they would not trade those experiences for anything. Not the nights in jail, not the DUI, not the broken relationship, not the lost job, because they know that all that debris, all that difficulty just makes this place of serenity, that place where they can pray every day, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And they know that if they didn't have to go through that long and difficult through, they would not have arrived at that serene and that peaceful too. To get to trust, you go through trauma. And since betrayal is really looming over this whole psalm, can I have a word for you who are really feeling it acutely? And I just want you to know that by journeying through Psalm 55 and getting to verse 23, by living verses 1 through 22, I just am so over my preoccupation with my grudges, because it's so easy when you've been done wrong. Hey, won't you play another somebody done somebody wrong song? Hello, you singing that song. Some of you are like, who? What in the world is that? It's country music. Get over it. But it's so easy to be obsessed with those grudges and obsessed with those betrayals. And yet the journey of Psalm 55 is to get you away to being obsessed with your betrayal to the point that you become the possession of God. And that is so much better. And maybe, just maybe, God has allowed or God has caused. Who knows where you draw that line between what God allows and what God causes? Maybe he's done both in your life, and he's made you feel that sense of betrayal to get you to the place where you would fall at your knees in surrender to the one who knows the pain of betrayal better than anyone else. You ever heard of Judas? Jesus knows what it's like to be betrayed by one of his own. And maybe he walks you through that journey so you will fall at your knees and you will say, I am tired of being obsessed with my grudges. I'm ready to be the possession of my Savior. To get to that kind of trust, you go through some kind of trauma. So here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, I'm going to pray, and we're going to stand, and we're going to sing, and we've had some cards made up. They are nice, professionally made cards. And they say to get to trust, you got to go through trauma. And Psalm 55 is on them. And so what we're going to invite you to do when you stand and when you sing is we're going to invite you to come up and get one of these cards and to lay your grudge at the altar and to be grateful for the trauma that God is bringing you through so that you will get to that glorious, peaceful, serene place. That too. I trust you. Let's pray. God, thank you for the difficulties. Thank you for master planning a process that takes us on a difficult journey so that we get to a place that we feel is such great reward, that place of trusting you. And I ask that every sense of betrayal, every deeply held grudge would be left at your feet, cleansed by your power. In the strong and the saving name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.